Then the energy is go away. So these two cellular layers shrink. So the shell also try to catch up with these two cellular layers. This process repeated again and again. Eventually, all the energy is changed into radiation. So it completely evaporate. This is my viewpoint from outside observer. Here, question is, how can we describe this my viewpoint from outside observer? Here, I introduce a general idea of construction of a model which describes both formation and evaporation. Please look at this left panel diagram. This represents black hole formation. Here is flat, and by some cross process, black hole is formed. Then we take time reversal procedure. So this center panel diagram corresponds to black hole evaporation process. Here is black hole, and by some process, evaporate and flat space-time. Furthermore, in order to add formation process, we can connect collapsed matter like this. Then, horizon structure and the singularity is covered. So geometry is safe. And here is a collapse process, and all the energy is changed to radiation. Here, important point is Hawking radiation can occur without horizon. Actually, particle creation generally occurs in time-dependent potential. So, in this case, such a potential is produced by collapsing matter in terms of time-dependent geometry. So, particle creation actually occurs. And furthermore, as I will explain later, Hawking radiation can occur without exact structure of horizon. And another question arises, how can we describe this Penrose diagram by concrete and solvable model? As a simple model, we take flat space-time plus null shell plus outgoing bisymmetric. And furthermore, question arises, is this a solution of the semi-classical Einstein equation? This is my talk today. First, I show our results. One, construct a self-consistent model which describes a black hole from formation to evaporation, including the back reaction from the radiation. Two, in the case where null shell collapses, at the beginning, the evaporation occurs, but it stops eventually, and horizon and singularity appear. And three, in the generic collapse process of the continuously distributed null matter, the black hole evaporates almost completely without forming a macroscopically large horizon or singularity. And four, find a stationary solution in the heat bath. This is a result. And I like my comment on the term black hole. In my talk, I mean by the word black hole, not one that has an event horizon defined globally as in the rigorous sense, but one that is formed in semi-classical collapse forces as a result. This is our viewpoint. This is today's talk plan. Our introduction is finished. And next section, I will set up a model and estimate flux formula, which estimate flux energy from particle creation in dynamical manner. And in the section three, I solve these equations concretely in the case of our single nucleus. And four, I generalize a discussion to the continuously distributed matter case. And finally, write down a stationary solution. And after that, I summarize and a little discussion. Let's start. Outgoing Bollinger metric is given by this metric. Naively, this describes outgoing radiation without the gravity factor. The function AU corresponds to Schur suit radius. And this metric has following properties. One, spherical symmetric. Two, the Einstein tensor is traceless. Three, the only non-zero component of Einstein tensor is GUU, like this. These conditions corresponds the following physical meaning. One, assume massless particle. Two, neglect the wire anomaly. Three, neglect partial waves with large angular momenta. Four, neglect the gravity factor. Actually, we can assume these four conditions because one, a massive particle require higher energy than massless particle. But our black hole is so large, so the temperature is very low. And next, wire anomaly dumps as we approach infinity. And three, partial waves with a large angular momenta cannot go through its own centrifugal barrier. And four, we take a boundary condition such that ingoing energy does not exist except for collapsing matter. So in this sense, we can use this Bollinger metric as a first approximation solution, which describes the back reaction from the radiation.
Sorry.
Hi.
Yes. The classical level, this is an exact solution.
Yes, this is exact solution.
So when you say approximate, you mean approximate
with respect to which system? Okay. In real world, massive particle can emitted, and wire anomaly also exists, and partial waves also. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. In quantum level, in quantum level, I am considering now semi-classical equation. So, I just use classical geometry. Just quantize matter fields in this sense, approximation. Yes. And next, I will show how to obtain the whole space time. Please look at this graph. horizontal axis is the time coordinate u, and the vertical axis is a radial coordinate r. In this graph, the outgoing null rays described this horizontal line. And ingoing null rays described by this curved line. And RSU represents null shell crops, null shell, and AU is shear suit radius. And furthermore, inside is flat space time. The metric is here. And outside is bigeometric. So in order to connect these two metrics, we just have to use this junction condition on the shell. This condition comes from the fact that RS follows geodesic regression from both sides, from this side and this side. So these equalities hold. So we obtain the whole spacetime in the metric meaning. And furthermore, we have to check surface energy momentum tensor on the shell. This tensor is obtained by Barabas and Israel junction formalism. And the surface energy density is given by this. This mean is easy to understand. Mass over the surface area. The more interesting one is pressure. Here, A dot is negative now because the energy reducing by the radiation. So the pressure is positive. This means the work done by the shell as it contracts is transformed to the Hawking radiation. In order to throw away the energy, we have to make some work process. So in this sense, this surface pressure make a work process in the contracting shell. Yes, yes. Yes.
But still,
you are
collapsing shell, the radiometric is still a solution.
So okay. So I have to comment here. This is just a classical setup. So a question is, this setup is really a solution of semi-classical Einstein equation. So we have to make a dynamical equation and solve the equation, actually.
But at the classical level?
Yes, this is just classical level.
So then it's not working radiation.
Later, this A dot is proportional to H bar. In the next slide, okay. Sorry, after this, sorry. We have to solve a dynamical equation. The first one is equation of motion for shell RS. The equation is here, and here, AU is given function here. And RSU is always larger than AU. So the right-hand side is negative. So this equation tells RS approaches the short-lived linears in the time scale A. If this condition is satisfied, this condition is equivalent to this. And this condition means the time scale in which our shell approaches the short-lived linears is much smaller than the time scale in which the short-lived linears change significantly.
Sorry, is A dimensionless?
Has a length dimension. Length.
By less than one, you mean less than?
A dot is dimensionless. So one is just a number. So actually, this condition is satisfied in the case of Hawking radiation here. So as long as we consider a large black hole, this condition satisfied in the case of Hawking. So we obtain a general solution from here, approximately. This solution tells shell RS approaches the radius AU exponentially. But it cannot catch up with completely because the back reaction A dot non-zero. Okay, U is short-lived time. But the null time in this sense. Yes, yes. So this geometry is asymptotically flat. So yes. So here I will derive flux formula. Quantum effect lies here. A flux formula means in this sense. So we can estimate this quantity. So here we use Minkowski vacuum and point splitting regularization and Eichner approximation and only use S wave. So in this condition, we can derive this formula. Yes. Actually, before collapse, space-time is flat space, so particle creation does not occur, but after collapse matter, the potential is changing time dependently. So this time dependence leads particle creation. So we can estimate this equation concretely in this setup. Yes, yes.
So how do you describe this time evolution of the
vector? In Heisenberg picture, their vacuum is fixed. But in Heisenberg picture, field operator time evolve. So such a time evolution leads this non-zero effect. Allows you, please recall here. And large U function of U given by this equation. So our program is to solve these two equations. This is problem. Yeah. So we use a point splitting regularization technique here. Okay.
But you have a natural, yeah, it's not clear what you're doing there. So it's not, you have a natural normalization from the zero before the shift. So TUU evolved in time. Are you going to give us a flavor of this computation?
This is the result. And do you want to know a more concrete calculation here? Sorry?
A little bit.
Okay. So I have a little appendix here. Yes. This is the same. This is just a picture, and here this picture depicts before collapse case, just a flat space, and this yellow line outgoing one mode function. So in Eichner approximation and only S-wave approximation, this behave like here. And after collapse, this inside is described inside outgoing one mode described this, but time coordinate large U. And outside is the outgoing mode here. And this FU is arbitrarily a U function. This FU form comes from a geodesic equation in Bayesian metric using Eichner approximation. In this sense, we solve time evolution equation.
Is it fair to use an Eichner approximation? If the quantities that are going to be emitted by the black hole have a typical wavelength comparable to the size of the black hole.
Yes. So, yeah.
Why is Eichner approximation? That's a short wavelength approximation.
I see. Actually, please image in Hawking original paper. He considered a backward process in the one mode wave equation from the future infinity to the past infinity. So in this case, blue shift occur, right? So in this sense, we hear a blue shift occur. So we can use Eichner approximation. But actually, you know, typical length scale is same order short shift radius. So this point is a little bizarre, I think. Strange, yes. So, but,
yeah. So I think I can all talk about what works for part of it, if it's only for the part of it. I mean, as you say, there's a blue shift. So when you're very near the horizon, when the mode is very near the horizon, it should work.
Yes. So, our viewpoint is based on infinite observer. So in this sense, this point mismatch. But I think our framework is almost the same Hawking's original work. Oh, sorry. Yes, and so this is our program. Let's test the equations in the case of neglecting Buck reaction, A dot equals zero. In this case, shell trajectory is given by this. So as you can see easily, Ju is given by this one, which is the same as one-dimensional black body radiation with Hawking temperature. So in this sense, this result is consistent with usual result. And I like make comment on Planck distribution. Planck distribution can be also derived in the same setup, but important point is in the derivation, the horizon structure is not used in the regular sense. In order to produce Hawking radiation, Planck distribution, all that is necessarily is the fine parameters on future infinity and past infinity are related exponentially. Actually, our setup, this exponential relation holds like this. But here, I will not show this derivation, sorry. And concretely, I will solve the equations. Numerical result given by this graph. Vertical axis is AU over Planck length, and horizontal axis is the time coordinate U over Planck length. So, and zoom up picture is here. At the beginning, the radiation occur like this, but it stops eventually. So, it cannot evaporate even though the Buck reaction is taken into account. So the horizon and the singularity appear at U infinity. Yes, usually people just use this result, this equation. So people believe in black hole evaporates completely.
So can you show what
is the equation? Oh.
In your case,
okay. Sorry. Yes. Here is analytical result.
Can you compare your equation with this one?
Our case is. First, in this stage, this relation hold, but.
Can you show the A dot equation? Where is your A dot equation?
Our A dot equation is self-consistently given by this.
So how do I, where is the term 1 over A squared?
This radiation stage, flux formula is given by almost the same this one, so 1 over A square. So in this sense, in the radiation stage, in our case, this equation holds. But important point is, eventually such a radiation stops like this.
At what scale does it stop?
Scale is about a log a. But I don't write down here.
The
time scale is, sorry, A?
The time scale is set by the size of the black hole. You said A log A.
Yes.
So, there's no,
so that means that basically no Hawking radiation.
Yes.
And then the shell sits at a finite size after that?
Yeah. In our case, radiation time scale is A log A.
Right.
Is this a null shell?
New shell, yes. Yes.
How can a null shell sit at a finite size? Or even with radiation? Unless there's a large curvature.
Sorry, what do you mean by large curvature?
A null shell is something that can't, by definition, can't sit still.
Yeah.
But you're saying there is a horizon there?
Oh yes.
But the null shell wasn't an ingoing null shell?
Ingoing, yes. The outgoing photon corresponds to Hawking radiation, not?
Yes, but you're saying there's no more. But I'm saying that a null shell, I don't understand how a null shell can sit at the horizon unless it's an outgoing, unless it's the velocity is directed outward.
Okay, so in our case, here, I will show analytical result. So after that, okay, discussion. Yes.
I just want to understand what picture you're painting for us, then we could try and understand the formulas behind it. So your picture is that this is what the null shell is coming in.
Yeah.
Some Hawking radiation.
Yes. Here. Yes. Yes.
It reaches about the structural radius.
Yes. Yes.
And then it stops contracting.
Yes. This is a self-consistent solution, mathematically.
And what has stopped it from contracting? So we're talking radiation. If I just said a black hole, I said that, or if I just consider the classical solution without the radiation,
yeah,
it'll just go right through the horizon.
Okay, so
what is stopping it?
Okay, so.
Or is it the case that the radiation is stopped out of that? Or is the mechanism that you have an horizon, where I don't know if it's a radiation, horizon inside the null shell, the horizon is radiating and somehow feeding the null shell to stay put?
Well, I'm wondering if that's the case. But that sounds, have you included in anything but a gravitational interaction between the radiation and the null shell? It's not a conductor or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a gravitational mirror.
Okay.
I mean, that's the question. What physically will stop it from collapsing?
Yeah, okay. So, actually, a mathematical result tells this page. General behavior of the shell is given by this. So here is time passed sufficiently.
Can I ask one last thing?
Yes, okay.
So in the limit of large U,
yeah,
you have a stationary solution?
Yes.
So we should be able to explore, we should be able to understand that stationary solution.
All right, okay. Oh, our case is just a
vacuum polarization that's holding the shell. I just don't understand. But anyway, can you show us in the end that stationary solution?
It's a vacuum?
Yes, sure, it's asymmetric. Yes.
It's a vacuum, but it has a shell.
Exactly, sure, it's asymmetric, I think.
Exactly. But where's the shell then?
Where's the shell? TG? Yeah, that's right. TUU is here.
Yes, yes, stopped, yes. Shell from outside observer shell exists just at horizon in infinite time. But
the shell is always outside the horizon, but it just shrink down to the
horizon.
Sorry, but both are
now. Yes, both new. Yes.
You're in falling observer when you see the shell collapse.
In our setup, the collapsing matter moving noodle-like, so in falling matter cannot catch up with the shell. Sorry, your question is what?
Well, the shell appears to be stationary for horizon at infinity.
Yeah.
Say we chose a different time coordinate.
Yeah.
The one for an involved observer, like the time coordinate.
Yes.
Would you see the shell collapsing, or would you still see it sitting stationary?
I think in this case, a black hole is actually formed, so shell does not exist at horizon. Yes, yes, I think, yes. Yes. Yeah, sorry. For large U, this exponential factor is has been dumped. So, this second term can become at most 1 nova A in the case of Hawking radiation. But this quantity is much smaller than first term. So we can put like this. In this case, we can solve analytically. The solution is given by this. The first equation tells xi infinity corresponds to u infinity. And this integration is finite and small. So it cannot be cancel this large initial mass. So in this way, au will not necessarily vanish at u infinity. This is a solution, yes. So next question is, how can we evaporate black hole completely? The answer is, our continuously distributed matter case, black hole can evaporate. Please suppose continuously distributed neural matter graphs like this. Each blue line describes each shell. So each shell approaches the short-suit radius. R prime is one shell. It approaches short-suit radius A prime. And another shell, R2 prime, approaches the short-suit radius A2 prime like this. Here, A prime is given by the sum of energy under the shell like this. Here, important point is the time coordinate U prime is different for each shell. Here, U prime, here, U2 prime. Here, around origin, large U, outside is just U. You know, this difference comes from a redshift factor. Actually, this redshift effect is important in deriving Hawking radiation in this continuous case. And as I will explain later, such a Hawking radiation can remain in all the time scale. So in this case, a black hole can evaporate. For each shell, the following equations hold in its time scale U prime. The first equation, of course, baryometric for the shell A prime. And this equation is equation of motion of the shell R prime. A solution is given by this. And flux formula also can be described this. And here, we introduced n. N is degrees of freedom of the spheres in the vacuum. For example, standard model, n is order 100. Now, we consider time has passed sufficiently, so this exponential factor has been dumped. And we assume this equation. This means the time derivative of A prime with respect to U prime does not depend on U prime explicitly. Actually, this condition is satisfied in the case of Hawking. And furthermore, introduce a new notation, rho prime. Rho prime measures the difference between shell and short-suit radius. Here, we can estimate rho prime using this result here, and furthermore, using this assumption here. So, the distance rho prime is a function of A prime. This point is important. And here, estimate redshift factor. Please look at shell rho prime, sorry, R prime, from both sides, from this side and this side. So, we obtain this equation. From this, we can estimate, in the case of dA is small, redshift factor here. And furthermore, integrated it, we obtain redshift factor for finite distance, this. This exponential form is required to produce Hawking radiation. And we introduce another notation xi prime here, and using this result here, and using this result, so xi prime is easily 1 over 2a prime. And here, Hawking radiation is estimated. The flux formula J prime is written in xi prime like this. And using a xi prime result, J prime is this form. So Hawking radiation occurs from each shell with different temperature for each shell. So like this, Hawking radiation occurs here, here, from here, and here. So but the radiation is emitted substantially only from the outermost region because large lead shift. Actually, rho prime is given by 1 over A prime using this result. And lead shift factor can be estimated like this. So this is so small. So the radiation from this deep region cannot reach at infinity by this large lead shift. So substantially, only radiation from here can reach infinity. So outside observer here, Hawking radiation with the temperature given by outermost radius 1 nova A. So in this sense, this picture, this result is consistent with usual one. And I write down a stationary metric here. Suppose a black hole is put in the heat bath and it becomes stationary. Then the inside metric is given by this metric. This metric has sufficiently properties, and one is it smoothly connected to the short-circuit radius at here. So this does not have horizon, and this metric does not have our semi-classical limit because we have it in the self-consistent manner. Please recall Ising model result by using mean field approximation method. In this case, the result does not have a zero coupling limit. So our result is the same situation. So our result is not a perturbative result. And time around the origin large T is almost frozen from viewpoint of the outside, like this. And furthermore, this does not have a large curvature compared with LP minus square if n is larger than 100 about. Actually, using this metric, Kretschmann invariant estimated around here, like this. So if this condition satisfied, this invariance not so large. So in this sense, this metric is geometrically safe. And finally, this metric also takes into account buck reaction from Weyl anomaly.
Where is the radiation?
Sorry?
You said this is a thermal heat bed, so where is the radiation? You have to show an equation for the thermal radiation also.
Oh, this. This has Einstein tensor corresponding to expectation value of energy momentum tensor.
Can you write it down? What is the energy momentum tensor?
From this equation. Energy momentum tensor is through Einstein equation given by Einstein equation from this. I will show a little derivation. Please record this is a Bayesian metric for the shell, one shell. R prime means the locus of the shell. So here, rho prime minus A prime is denoted, R prime minus A prime denoted rho prime, and we introduce red shift factor like this. And we use result of red shift factor here. And furthermore, rho prime is estimated by the result of Hawking radiation. So we can obtain this metric. Because this metric. Yes. Yeah, exactly, yes. Because this metric is A dot equals zero. Yes, in this sense, stationary. And actually, this metric, for this metric, Einstein tensor have also stationary, not time dependent.
But if A dot is zero, then you don't know Hawking radiation, right?
Not. Just A dot equals zero is just not time dependent.
So it's just a stride field metric in some sort of thing going forward. Some particular node board that's half node board.
Yes. I will show whole the picture here. Like this picture.
The thermal equilibrium together with the whole distribution of null shells. It's not just radiation plus gravity.
Yes.
It's radiation plus gravity plus this null matter. Is that the same thing?
In our approximation, we neglect P wave something, so just only use S wave.
Is the null shell playing an important role?
In our setup, yes.
T doesn't vanish.
so.
Because of radiation. I mean,
can you go back and show the form of T U U?
Yeah.
In the beginning.
A beginning. Oh, okay. This one.
So T U U is A dot.
Yes.
So you have a bunch of log shares, but suddenly they disappear. So the only possible explanation for that I can, so clearly once A dot is equal to zero, there's no more any log share.
Yeah.
Because G is equal to zero. So the only possible way, the physical mechanism, so you put a log share which has positive. Then somehow you compute the outgoing radiation, which is Hawking radiation. And Hawking radiation violates the energy condition, so that's negative TUU. And then you're looking for some other balance where the mass shed plus Hawking is matched. That's kind of a stable. So, which is, because usually in the usual context when you have TUU equal to zero, the only solution is Schwarzschild. But here, for some reason, it's not because this T U U is
zero. It
can't
be zero, right, for the reason you just said. In the ultimate, in the solution that you wrote down for us, for the metric.
Wait, you were going to see.
What?
Yeah,
so you were going to show us, why does this T mu nu for that solution? You never showed.
Yeah, that's OK.
OK.
So what is the T mu nu?
This solution corresponds to inside region here, and outside is described by geometric. Okay. So yes.
So that's the Schwarzschild
type. Yes. Yes. A dot equals zero. Yes. So, but this picture is ideal picture. Because you know, Hawking radiation is very slow. So evaporation process is very slow. So, in this. This metric describes inside the horizon.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have a slide that shows the Einstein tensor for that metric?
Looking, can you write the T mu nu for that metric?
Okay.
What is the energy momentum tensor of that metric? Do you have it? Yeah, can you write
explicitly?
Yeah, did you write it in the paper?
For example, TT component about L square something plus for example, this one.
What does it say? Something over R.
Yes, I forgot numerical factor.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, plus LP square times N.
Over just a constant.
Yes, constant, yes. But I forgot a correct form. Yes, yes.
Yes. But A dot is zero.
It has a zero.
Dot equals 0. Yes, here a is constant.
So it's 0. That's constant.
A is constant. Yes, I mean by energy momentum tensor, this mean. So actually GUU is this form. GUU only has a diagonal term. This term is not zero. Off diagram is all zero. Okay, because this metric is connected to the smoothly transient metric.
But you can invent many metrics which are connected smoothly to the transient metric. So that's not enough.
Okay, we consider this collapse process, and so in this setup, we can explicitly write down this metric by proper manner.
And how do you sound, you say you did not use the semi-classical Einstein equation?
I use a classical equation, semi-classical equation. Yes, semi-classical. Yes. I use. Yes.
And what state did you, what quantum field is in this?
Satisfy this condition. Sorry. This condition. Satisfy this condition.
What is it? Is it
massless
field or something like that?
Massless or electromagnetic field or something, yes. Graviton, yes, okay. Yes. So such a many field is included the symbol large N.
So how do you write the stress and how do you write the equations to solve them? If you don't specify it to be a scalar field or a vector field or
yes, I don't specify. Specify, yes.
And what's the equation you're working with?
The Morse?
The semi-classical equation that you have, how do you write it down to solve it?
Just use this equal.
But if you don't know what exactly what kind of math it is, how can you write down the equation?
We need just GUU to describe back reaction this equation.
I guess the question is how do you compute the expectation value of the energy momentum?
Okay. This expectation value given by this flux formula.
So how do you get that? I think you had it in your appendix when you showed me regularize how you regularize. It seems to me it was a scalar, it was just a massive scalar field.
Yes, yes. This is just an example. So in exact mean, we have to check another field case. Yes. Yes. But we don't check yet. Yes. Okay. So I have to finish this slide. Eventually, how does the black hole evaporate? Time evolution of total mass is determined by this. This is just a dot equal 1 over a square. This is usual result, except for this factor. But our viewpoint is more precisely how to evaporate. It evaporates gradually from the outermost shell as if one peels off onion like this. Because our metric describes inside structure. However, innermost shell with mass about this cannot evaporate forever because of the same reason in the single shell case. And actually, it has a horizon and a singularity, which are not macroscopically large. Because the mass is not so small compared with astrophysical size. So, whole the picture is given by this. At the center, a small Schwarzschild black hole, so it has horizon and singularity. And around this, our internal metric region, and outside bigeometric. And this object radiates Hawking radiation temperature this, and integrate this entropy is given by this. Summary, we construct self-consistent model which describes both formation and evaporation. And two, in the case of our single shell crops, at the beginning, evaporation occurs, but it cannot evaporate. And three, in the generic crops process of the continuous matter, a black hole can evaporate. And four, find a stationary solution. And here is a little discussion. We would like come back original question. What is the origin of entropy? How does the information come back? Our stationary solution has neither horizon nor singularity, so information inside a hole must come back after evaporation. But we don't understand the mechanism clearly yet. For example, suppose we threw a newspaper into the stationary black hole described by our metric. It will behave like another new shell going to the hole as it approaches the surface. Clearly, its energy will be transformed into Hawking radiation by our mechanism. However, the radiation itself comes from the quantum field on the past infinity, that is, vacuum. How will the information of the newspaper come back? This is a problem. A clue to this problem is we have taken the expectation value of energy momentum tensor in our self-consistent equations, which might correspond to the coarse-grinding procedure in ordinary statistical mechanics, I think. And the microscopic origin of black hole also comes from the same point. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to the first part, so which is this thing that the single shell, because already there's something very surprising. The picture I have is that you say, okay, I have a flat space, I send a single shell, I create a black hole, there is Hawking evaporation, and so what's happening is that my shell has positive energy density, right? But then Hawking radiation has negative energy density. So very rapidly, one cancels the other, and then it looks like I have no more energy density, so my shell has burn out somewhere, it has disappeared. So the Hawking radiation has completely eaten up the shell, right? That's because then you have a black hole. That's the picture. But then, what about the usual story? Now I have a black hole here, sitting there, which is now starting to radiate. So it's going to not stay like that, right? So your initial picture is the one I described, you agree?
Mm-hmm.
You have positive energy cancelling negative energy, and therefore the shell just pop, disappear, pop out. That's what you describe.
In our case,
this is what you have, right? You have A dot is equal to zero, T, U vanish. There's no energy momentum tensor whatsoever.
Yes.
So the shell has disappeared.
Okay. So
there's no.
Why does a black hole evaporate in the case?
Well, for the usual reason then. Yeah, I mean, and then I have a black hole. So that's the question, why your black hole does not evaporate then? Once the shell has disappeared, it happens very rapidly. It's eaten up by negative energy of Hawking radiation.
At least then, I can say, our case, the negative energy momentum tensor does not exist because a horizon does not exist in the time scale of outside observer.
But once you reach equilibrium,
I think that's the key point. You said you did a point splitting renormalization of the stress energy tensor in the neighborhood of the horizon. Did you define it in the neighborhood of the horizon? You must have. I mean,
we use point splitting regularization up here.
R much
yes.
Greater than A?
Yes.
Oh, but see, this is the thing. I think the right picture probably that will resolve all these worries that everyone has, but it will change your story. The picture is, I mean, this is just the usual picture, that in the neighborhood of the horizon, as Laurent was saying, associated with the Hawking radiation, there's an influx of negative energy. And that reduces the radius of the black hole. Right? And then you would have an A dot less than zero. A dot less than zero, not zero. And because A dot would be less than zero, then you would see a continuation of the outgoing radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did not compute the expectation value of the stress energy tensor in the neighborhood of the horizon, then you don't know what the correct back reaction
mm-hmm.
is,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know how you don't know the actual value of A dot.
Yeah.
So if you haven't done that calculation, then I think you haven't really found a self-consistent solution.
You mean I have to take this regularization near the horizon?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, here you're assuming, I guess what you did is you computed at R bigger than A, and you conclude it's only a function of U. But then somehow you kind of extrapolate and say that it's a function of U all up to the horizon, which means that this computation is also valid exactly at the horizon.
Oh, okay.
So that's the assumption here, but which means that in fact you're, you know, doing your point splitting regularization up to the horizon scale.
Yeah.
And then you solve the whole space time. There's an assumption here that this GU is the full answer.
Yeah. There seems to be an inconsistency because the approximation you did was for R being much greater than A.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
at the horizon R would be comparable to A. So probably. I mean, it's likely that approximation breaks down near the horizon.
Yes,
and
yes.
And if you
yes.
use a valid approximation near the horizon,
yeah.
then you'll see a different energy flux.
Oh.
In fact, you'll see a negative energy flux into the horizon, and that will cause it to shrink. And because A shrinks, A dot will be less than zero. And because A dot is non-zero, you'll still have Hawking radiation coming out. Uh-huh. It won't turn off. It'll continue.
Okay, so
I guess the detail of this computation is the key.
Yeah. No.
The flux.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, I'm a little such a near horizon effect. If we are standing at infinity, can we feel such a near horizon effect?
No.
Not.
So there's still, you want to say that this computation is still valid at infinity, right, for large r. So at large r, you find this a dot going to zero. So you don't,
you see a stopping
of Hawking radiation far away. But it doesn't mean that the black hole inside is not moving, you know.
I didn't get.
I mean, it might be that what's left over is that there is no Hawking radiation going to infinity after a short time.
That's what he's saying, but I don't believe it because.
Well, but it's valid at large r. But now it doesn't mean that what he says about what happens at the horizon. Right? I mean, what you're saying could still be true, that somehow there's some kind of some complicated dynamics of ingoing and outgoing stuff going on at the horizon, but they balance out when you go asymptotically to infinity.
But I think what you said before is also right. If it's just supposed to settle down to essentially pure Schwarzschild, then what will be wrong with the original derivation of the Hawking radiation?
No, I'm saying that cannot be true. So here I'm assuming this form of GU is valid for R at infinity.
Okay.
But it's not valid for R at the horizon. So you cannot conclude. I mean, there may be a way to reconcile you. From the fact that there's no radiation at infinity, you cannot conclude that you have Hawking radiation.
Well, sorry, but Hawking radiation does show up at infinity. So if that form was valid, then it would mean there was no Hawking radiation.
Wait, there's no, there is no, he's concluding that TUU vanish everywhere at the end. So that's the thing you don't.
Right, and that seems inconsistent with the existence of the Hawking radiation. Although the Hawking radiation might be small compared to the approximation you're making. I mean, it's not a huge flux. It's a kind of weak flux.
What can happen is that TUU vanish at infinity, but it doesn't vanish inside. And it's, was it right?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't see why that can't be. I don't see why in itself that's not possible. If I just take a lump of matter, TMU vanishes at infinity, but it doesn't vanish at smaller radii.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean R squared is this flux FU. R squared and TMU.
But maybe we can close the general discussion and continue the conversation. Thank you.
Yeah.